a credible leader always leads from the front by example. Any military commander who stays safely behind the lines but orders his troops to charge in harm's way over a hill is not terribly convincing as a warrior. Any teacher who endlessly lectures about the value of learning but himself does no study, who teaches the same old courses year after year, over and over again, cannot be taken seriously as a teacher. Or any priest who likes talking about prayer and preaching about Jesus, but who himself seldom seeks the Lord and is selfish with his time and talent for others and is entirely satisfied with his own state of conversion, that kind of priest or bishop is not a believable priest. In the rite of ordination for deacons, there is an exhortation that might well serve for the vocations of all baptized and confirmed Christian believers. The newly ordained are handed a text of the New Testament, then solemnly instructed, "Believe what you read. Preach what you believe, and then practice what you preach." One of the greatest proofs for the credibility of Jesus Christ was the fact that he so obviously practiced what he preached. Today's Gospel from Mark, Jesus, at the very start of his public ministry, begins his own Lent of 40 days of fasting and prayer. As the text of the Holy Gospel puts it, Jesus is driven by the Spirit out into the desert to be tempted. Now, this wasn't a game. This wasn't some pretend experience. Remember the great truth that Jesus was like us in all things but sin. So just like us, he could be tempted. Unlike us, he never surrendered. Before he embraced his vocation as our Savior, Jesus was tempted not to do what God asked of him, not to do his Father's will. Remember, the incident takes place just after the Lord's baptism in the River Jordan, where the voice of God had declared, "This is my beloved Son." In the more expanded accounts of the Lord's time in the desert, in Matthew and Luke, it is also recorded that the devil, the father of lies, begins his tempting by questioning this declaration from the Father. In Matthew and Luke, the devil begins, "If you are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple." And at one point, abandoning all pretense, the devil even dares to ask Jesus to give him the homage that belongs only to God. But throughout these real temptations, Jesus refuses to rely on anything or anyone but God alone. Jesus will not manipulate God. He doesn't even claim any special privilege as being God's only begotten Son. Instead, Jesus, in all the weakness of our humanity, leads us by example. He teaches us as much by what he does as by what he says. He shows us a way of living by faith in God's word and obedience to God's commandments. Jesus didn't come into this grieving world just to give us a lecture. He showed us by his life, by his death on the cross and resurrection, how to live new lives by living by faith. He stood with us. He led us. He even poured out his life's blood for us to prove the absolute power of faith, hope, and love, living virtues even greater than death itself. It is no accident that we hear this gospel on this, the first Sunday of Lent, when the whole Christian world strives to renew our baptismal commitment to die to sin and rise again to a new life through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Today's first reading, the story of Noah and the great flood. This is a profound meditation on the human choice to sin and the divine choice to offer us salvation. Through human sin, the whole world was judged and punished. And that is what happens whenever we sin. We choose our own way in isolation from God's way. In sin, we take what is not given and become alienated from God, from one another, even from our truest selves. Sin alienates us from our unique human capacity to live in the image and likeness of God. So if we hope to live in communion with God, we need to live according to God's terms. Lent is a great opportunity to face sin in our lives, to accurately and honestly name it, but then to bring our weakness before the mercy of Christ. Jesus, our brave leader, our truthful teacher, our high priest, shows us a new way, a better way, that makes us whole again and leads us away from death and into wonderful life. In today's second reading, St. Peter reminds us that Christ suffered for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that he might lead us all back to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but raised to life in the spirit. Peter repeats that story of Noah, prefiguring the grace of baptism. Those folks passed through the waters of the flood. God's people are saved and redeemed by passing through the waters of baptism to become children of God, a community living in covenant with God and with one another. That is why catechumens throughout the world, right here in the Diocese of Peoria, look forward to Easter and the graces of baptism. That is why Christians preparing for full communion with the Catholic Church, preparing for confirmation and Eucharist, and they're going to fill this cathedral twice today, absolutely to the rafters. That is why they intensify their prayer and continue their conversion to Christ. That is why all of us, every single one of us, priests, deacons, religious, and all the faithful, are challenged on this first Sunday of Lent to deepen our faith and our conversion. The story of Christ in the desert ends with Jesus going out to boldly preaching the good news of the kingdom throughout the region of Galilee. He fearlessly proclaimed, "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news." Once again, the Lord shows us by example how to be witnesses, how to be preachers, how even in the face of opposition and persecution, how to show what we believe. He shows us the way to bliss and beatitude. He is the convincing proof that he was the anointed Savior of this world. Remember in the full story of the Lord's temptations, out there in a barren desert among wild beasts, God sent angels from heaven to minister to his son. You know what? We really have a similar experience every time we come together for the Mass. Even in this world, often made barren by sin, even among all those wild beasts that hate the Catholic Church and oppose the gospel, in the Eucharist, we are fed by God with the bread of angels. And just as those holy angels for ages unending, praise and thank, tremble and adore, and feast their eyes on the very face of God in our holy communion, even on earth, even in this passing moment of time. We taste and see the great goodness of the Lord, and we are nourished with satisfying bread that has come down from heaven. At Mass, we already begin our participation in the celestial liturgy. We catch sight at Mass of our eternal destiny with God. You know, if we listen real hard at Mass, we might hear the beating of angel wings and the chanting of heavenly choirs, of the seraphim and cherubim exalting. As we worship together with all those exalting spirits, adorned in festal garments, we are in company with the glorious Virgin Mary and all the saints and all the angels, clothed in that endless splendor, which is the grace of Jesus Christ. So, strengthened by Mass, may all of us believe what we have been instructed, teach everyone what we so firmly believe, and then throughout this Lent and every day, practice what we preach.